Good morning, planet Earth. Welcome to Interview Radio on 95.7 LCR. I'm joined by Miss Lexington Sowers and Mr. Ben Wolf. I'm the one known as Kyle Bigelow here on this, again, wintry, snowy Tuesday. Lexington, how are you faring on this? I mean, this is one of your biggest holidays of the year.
This is one of my biggest holidays of the year, and I would prefer if it wasn't snowy and cold, but I'll take Mardi Gras any day of the year.
Can you tell us what Mardi Gras means to you a little bit?
Mardi Gras is kind of the feast before the fast, they say. But in specifically Latin American and French cultures, and predominantly Catholic cultures, it's the day before Lent starts where all of the debauchery goes down. So I use it as an excuse to eat anything I want and to just have fun. And then at midnight tonight, especially in New Orleans, they'll clean the streets out and it's back to church and being a good person.
Can you give us a little bit of a history lesson for those uninitiated? Does this have French roots?
It has French and Spanish, so it kind of came from that whole area. The idea of Carnival comes from the Portuguese and the Spanish. That's what most Latin American countries, Brazil, South America, celebrates. And then when the French came to specifically Mississippi, but also New Orleans, they brought their Mardi Gras celebrations to Louisiana.
And that's something you grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we've always had king cakes in the house. We've always had parties, and I've had friends in parades. So it's fun. We would ship king cakes up when we lived here in Kentucky, and I would eat like three a day when I lived down there. So.
And you're going out tonight. Where can people find you when you're going out tonight?
Well, tonight I know there are celebrations at West 6th. And Blue Stallion and Bourbon and Toulouse. So those are some good places. I've heard there's a crawfish boil, though, so that's where I'll be.
No.
You mentioned you're a little bit underwhelmed here by the reception of Mardi Gras in the bluegrass state. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I just think we should have parades for everything, and there are not enough parades. So we just need to get some high school bands out there, march down Main Street. And it would be a good time.
If whoever's in charge of that out there that's within the sound of my voice, go ahead and call in. what would you call it? The parade master? Every city has a parade master. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so today we're going to have on Rebecca Barnes. She's the director of community relations for the Lexington Legends, which obviously not a... not a nonprofit organization. They're the Class A club for the Kansas City Royals, the champion Kansas City Royals, in fact. But they're in the news for fundraisers coming up with over $1 million through various creative benefits. They do what's the one where they rappel down the Fifth Third building, Ben? What's that one called?
Oh, what was it?
Brave the Blue?
The Blue, yeah. Is that what something it is? The Blue.
They've worked with the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, breast cancer research and awareness, and Ms. Barnes is a Lexington native. She graduated from Henry Clay High School. We're not going to ask her what year. And from UK. She's also worked in the private sector and now is working for a sports team, so we're going to find out a little bit more about that journey. In the meantime, I want everyone to get ready today because we don't have anyone set up for the second hour, and this is sort of a production meeting on the air.
All right.
I want to know if anybody's going to call in.
All right.
I want to test the waters out here, so we're going to give out the phone number after our interview with Ms. Barnes and find out, is there anybody out there? Sort of a call into the heavens. Is anybody listening?
I'm interested, where in the world are you listening from?
Yeah, well,
we are
I'm
on the
sure,
internet.
Yeah, probably
so we'll
as far away as Chile, I would imagine.
Oh, that'd be neat.
What do you think, Lexington?
Chili sounds great. We'll go with that.
Yeah, okay. That'll go well with the crawfish tonight.
Yes.
All right. So what else do we have on the plate today? I know we were talking about the new logo for UK sports, which in some instances looks like a menacing wildcat with its jaw open. But right. when you hold it at another angle, what are people seeing, Lex?
Ben, you go. You describe this one.
I think it looks like a staple remover, to be honest with you. Just from memory from what I saw in the game the other day, it just kind of has, if you turn it over a little bit, it looks like that little pronged thing you remove staples with.
Yeah, I thought that we just came out with a new logo. What is this?
That was the university's logo.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
So this is the athletics. Yes.
It seems to me like every year somebody else is there just, you know, is there some sort of movement to keep graphic designers in the country employed at all times? Do we need a new logo?
The graphic design department at UK, keep them busy. They can come up with a new logo. Oh, for each graduating class, they can do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's like a thesis, right? Like you can't get your sheepskin unless you've come up with 12 new designs and one of them's got to be implemented, I guess, just to show, if anything, that there's minds at work in the athletic department, I suppose.
And they can give them notes so they'll know what the real world is like once they get out there, when they pour their heart and soul into designing something, and then somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about comes in and asks them to change it.
Well, even if it's not the university, you know, like you look at NFL designs throughout the years, and you know, stuff gets rebranded and changed all the time, and sometimes for good reasons, but
usually it's always to make it look meaner. Like the Cardinals when they were in St. Louis, yeah, it was just a nice looking cardinal. And then when they got to Arizona, they like sharpened the beak, they narrowed the eyes, and it's a much meaner looking bird.
Yeah.
They've tried that with the Dolphins.
Right.
To have a very mean, menacing looking dolphin. Yeah, it looks a little meaner.
Yeah,
but still a dolphin. It's still cute.
By 2040, his fins are going to have biceps. we are just shooting things out of the sky right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is Interview Radio. I'm joined by Lex and Ben. We're waiting to get a call in from Miss Rebecca Barnes, the Director of Community Relations for the Lexington Legends. Okay, well, so last week we talked to my co-host Lex about her fascination. I don't know, maybe fascination is not the word, but she's a big football fan. And of course, a couple of days ago we had Super Bowl 50 between the Carolina Panthers. I don't have to tell you guys who played. You know who played. You know who won. What you really want to know is, what did Lexington think about the game? So take it away.
I actually, sadly, was at work, so I missed kickoff. It was a very sad moment.
It was a great kickoff, I'll give you that.
But a lot of people took pictures, so I'm sure you'll
be fine. I'll be okay.
Yeah, somebody recorded it, so it's on record somewhere.
But what I saw of the game, I really enjoyed. I thought it was well fought.
I'm trying to see how well she can
fake her way through this. So you can
yeah.
Say, what do you think about
no
what
alliance.
Do you think about the running game of the two teams?
I've heard the guard play. The Broncos defense won that game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's my input right now, because I didn't really watch all of it, but give me a college football game and I could have had a bit more for you.
Well, the storyline was contentious, as you know. And this is not me pulling something out of the air. It's discussed on every major sports network. There was a undertone of black versus white, old versus young, whether you want to talk about the old.
That's something I probably wouldn't have noticed had the media not jumped on it and just pounded it into my brain.
Well, it is funny how that works, right? Because the media cries, you know, we're beating this stuff into the ground because you guys are clamoring for it, and we're on the other side. Listen to me with a microphone in my face. But your average citizen is saying, you know, look, You're just like you're saying, Ben.
It's just two quarterbacks, two different styles of play. And one's older and one's younger. That's really all there is. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember when Doug Williams went to the Super Bowl. As bad as it was this year, that was unbelievable.
I'm going to have to get some of that invisible aging cream if you think that I'm anywhere near old enough to have seen Doug Williams. He was a Buccaneer, right?
Well, this was 87. He played for the Redskins.
Okay. So, I was several months old. But yeah.
I just didn't do the math.
I could probably catch
I was watching ESPN football classic. When I was like five. So, you know.
Yeah.
The first one I remember, I think, was the Bengals 49ers in 82 or something like that. And barely old enough to know how to turn on the television. So, as long as I could turn on a TV, I've been watching football.
Yeah,
it's so 30-ish. Maybe you know who Doug Williams. Maybe you saw the highlight films.
Oh, yeah. NFL I mean, I know. Network. I know if you are an ESPN radio nerd as much as I am, you hear these stories. Whether it's Doug Williams, Warren Moon, these guys that sort of paved the way for African American quarterbacks to come up, and that as evolved as we like to pat ourselves on the back for becoming every once in a while when this stuff comes up, it still ends up being a topic of conversation because 24-hour news.
Yeah, network. They have eight 24-hour-a-day sports channels and the NFL network, not just a sport, but one league,
right?
24/7. And I would tune into that occasionally just to see how are they going to kill 2 weeks talking about one game, and they managed to do it. It was very impressive. But and you just reach for just the minutia and anything, any small little kernel of thing that you can bring people on and talk about amongst five people and kill a half an hour. That's what they're going to do. So there was all sorts of just ridiculous stuff on the network when they were reaching for things to talk about.
Changing gears a little bit, but speaking of Colonel, my co-host Lex is the feature editors for the UK newspaper, the Kentucky Colonel. Sort of along the same lines, how do you manage, when it's a slow news week, when something's not jumping out at you, and you only have our little old state public university to deal with? Which is, being sarcastic, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff, but as much content as you have to churn out on a regular basis, is it difficult to find stories?
What do you do on a slow news day?
Some days you think it's a slow news day, and then you get five emails and you realize it's never a snow news day. Slow news day.
You just have snow on the brain.
Snow on the brain.
Just trudging through all that slush.
But there's always stories that you can tell out in our community. I've heard some amazing ones just this week alone that really powerful people in our community that are striving in the arts and striving in nonprofits. And so there is never not enough news and never not enough reason for everyday citizens and Lexingtonians to not get involved in our community, whether it be in UK or in Lexington.
And as an extension of that, we are... as an imperative of this show, if that's not explicit, we like to go out and profile and talk to people from Lexington, like our next guest, Rebecca Barnes, who is going to join us here in just a minute. We're back. We are back on Interview Radio on WLXL Lexington Community Radio. And we're joined by Rebecca Barnes, the Director of Community Relations for the Lexington Legends. How are you doing today, Rebecca?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. We're having some... Ben, we're...
I can hear.
Oh, maybe it's just my thing. Okay. You guys might have to take this for a second.
Oh, no. We unplugged a headphone.
Rebecca, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are good. We are good. So before we get started about some of the wonderful things that y'all have done with the Lexington Legends and baseball season, because collegiate baseball is starting soon, so I'm sure y'all are gearing up and getting ready. But let's talk a little bit about you. What's your past kind of been like since you are a Lexington native?
I am born and raised here in Lexington, Kentucky. Was lucky enough to, right out of college, get an internship with the United Way of the Bluegrass. So got a nonprofit background. From there, went on to help with the campaign over at LexArts, which is the umbrella arts organization for the community. And from there, dabbled a little bit in financial services and then ended up in minor league baseball.
Well, the Lexington Legends have done a lot as far as nonprofits. How did that background with United Way help prepare you for what you all have done with the baseball team?
I mean, I think that was such a beneficial thing for me to have coming into this role as the Director of Community Relations. Andy Shea has been a part of this community since he has gotten here and has made a great name for the Lexington Legends. So it was a perfect fit coming in. I think it's important for any organization to be involved in the community, but I think it's even better when, you know, you can have this minor league baseball team in such a, you know, small community be so involved.
Did you grow up going to the games, Rebecca?
You know, I did to an extent. I will say I did not probably go to as many as I should have, but it was definitely, when I did go, it was because of tickets that were donated to some of the organizations that I did work with, or with different community groups that the Legends had given sweets to. So I was very well-versed in the way that the donation system works at the Lexington Legends.
There was an article that came out yesterday about the Legends donations from a variety of benefits that tops $1 million. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the benefits that the Legends put on?
We're so excited this year to be able to announce that. It was one of those definitely crowning moments in my career, to say the least. We fundraise year-round, and we are always the first one to make a donation to any organization that is, you know, having a charitable event or wanting to raise money, you know, within our ballpark. Our bread and butter, so to speak, is to have, we have a lot of walks in the morning for charities, but also it's engaging some of these local organizations and giving them the tools to fundraise. The biggest thing for us is, you know, fundraising tickets. We do a program also called the Community Organization of the Night. So we invite any local organization to come in and kind of be highlighted as the Community Organization of the Night. We give you a radio interview with our one and only Keith Elkins. We also interview you down on the field, and we give you a table on the concourse, which for many businesses is definitely something that they usually can't afford. So it's a way for us to be able to give back to those local organizations.
Great pipes on Keith Elkin, too. I spoke with him this morning. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So I've got a list of some of the organizations. One of the most, there's a lot of creative things here. It's to draw people out and draw their checkbooks out. Have you experienced this Brave the Blue?
I have, actually. Not personally, going down the building, which is quite scary in a mascot outfit. I will say I was up there with our big L, our mascot, who has braved the blue now 4 years in a row. And I will say when I went up there to take some pictures for publicity reasons, it was very intimidating. So the Brave the Blue is probably one of the more fun things that we get to do out in the community. Obviously, we pride ourselves on being visible at any charity function or, night of charitable giving. We try to have our mascot there and support those organizations. But Brave the Blue, by far, was probably one of the most fun things we did this year.
Just so people can understand what this is, it's a it's rappelling from the 5th-3rd building, 30 stories up, and probably a beautiful view until you start feeling the breeze go past your head and looking down accidentally. So,
to say the least, it is definitely one of those things where We actually, Big L went down with the oldest propeller this year. They do two at a time. And he was 80 years old, and he went down next to Big L. So when the two of them got to the bottom, it was definitely a record year for them. They had the oldest propeller next to a mascot.
Well, a friend of mine did that this past year, and she'd had a GoPro attached to her head, and that video is actually pretty impressive.
And quite hilarious at times if the voice activation is on.
Oh, yeah.
So the Legends have this 15-day of service initiative. What is that?
You know, that's one of the things we pride ourselves on most. We started this initiative about a year and a half ago, and we started last summer, and we really wanted to, you know, we do a lot of volunteer activities. Not only as a staff, you know, our staff is engaged on boards, and they attend events, and, you know, we're very active in the community, but a lot of people request our players to be as well. The Kansas City Royals have been an absolute great organization to partner with in regards to allowing us to take the players to different service activities around town. So to celebrate our 15th anniversary last year, we actually decided to come up with the 15 Days of Service initiative, and it was truly, we knocked it out of the park, to say the least. We volunteered in over 278 hours. Within different organizations within the community, probably we ended up doing about from 17 to 20, and that included front office staff, as well as the Lexington Legends players and coaching staff. And it was just a way for us to give back to the community in a way that we, you know, instead of donating tickets, which we always love to do, or having Big L go to appearances, this is a way for us to kind of go in and get, you know, our hands dirty, and, you know, whether we were planting flowers for Greenhouse 17 or helping build houses for Habitat for Humanity. It allowed our front office staff as well as our Lexington Legends players see what Lexington's community is really all about.
What is kind of the players' reception? Because that's not necessarily something you sign up for when you want to play baseball, but have they had a good reaction to it?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. You have to think about it. Sometimes these players are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And for them to be kind of uprooted and be in this, you know, whimsical minor league baseball world, I think a lot of them truly appreciated the fact that, A, we took the time to include them in opportunities like this, but also they were able to see the community that they were giving back to. You know, these are your fans. And at this point in your career, you know, how wonderful is it to show up at your baseball game? You know, you have 70 home games, and you've got these kids and these people that want your autograph, you know, every day, and they're going to follow your career for the rest of your life. And it's making those relationships now. I think it was a perfect situation to be able to introduce them to Lexington and to introduce, you know, Lexington to them.
So I feel like the community of Lexington is really good for this, and I'm assuming you've had a positive response from our city?
Oh, absolutely. They 100%, whenever we say, hey, can we bring the players out? They're like, yes, when, where, now, how many? Yes.
Well, knowing that I have two nephews, and I can imagine that if they saw a Lexington Legends player, they would be all over that, so I don't doubt that the community has been very receptive.
Yes, and it's very rewarding, you know, especially when you're with children, you know, to take them to the local hospital, and some of these kids are so sick, and it's just a little reminder of you know, what it's really all about. It's giving back to this community and how we can impact that, and you know, it really is, you know, nothing for us to take a few hours out of our day to make, you know, somebody's week or month, especially when they're not feeling good. So we enjoy doing things like that, to say the least.
Well, one thing that involves people who give back to our community so much, just as much as y'all give, is this Guns and Hoses softball tournament.
Yes, yes, and yes.
What is that? Can you kind of explain that?
Absolutely. So we have a Guns and Hoses softball game. every year, and it's one of our fan favorites because it is a like an actual softball game between our local police department and our local fire department. And they come out literally in like t-shirts, dressed to the nines, ready to play some ball. And it is a competitive game. We always have it before or after one of our Legends games, so people can always use whatever ticket it is for that day. They can get in for free, come watch the game. We've got our concessions open. So it truly is, and, you know, a lot of the people that are on call, per se, so our local and active police officers that aren't playing in the game but are on duty, the same with the fire trucks, are all parked out front. They all come to watch the game until they get the call. You know, they got to go. But you know, at the end of the day, it's a friendly game of softball, but it does get a little bit competitive. And every year, the loser takes home a toilet bowl seat. So it's, I don't know if you want to be the winner or the loser, but you take home a toilet bowl seat. So
well,
it's always a fun one.
Oh, I can imagine. What do you all have planned for this upcoming season?
Oh, goodness. We have got a little bit of everything, and we're so excited. This year is going to be so much fun. This is our 16th season. Our opening day is April 7th, so mark your calendars. We're going to have literally a promotion every single night of our homestands this year. So we've got 70 home games. And I think the most, you know, what we're looking forward to the most is our All-Star Game. We are hosting the South Atlantic League All-Star Game for the first time since 2003. And with that comes a lot of, you know, economic development for our downtown. We're going to have a lot of people in town to see Lexington. We're going to have a lot of activities going on. And, you know, to top it all off, we're going to have the best of the best in the South Atlantic League playing here at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. So for us, it's one of those great, you know, times for us to highlight not only Lexington, but it's a time for you to come out and see some of these players that will be playing in major league games within a year or two. So it's definitely going to be a good time. And of course, I can't forget to mention Red, White, and Boom. We are so excited about that. It's going to be Labor Day weekend this year, so tickets are actually already on sale, and we're so excited about the lineup. It's going to be a three-day festival that we have, you know, that Lexington has not seen before.
And for those who aren't aware, Red, White, and Boom is a country music event, and like you said, it's 3 days, and it's huge, so the tickets for that are on sale, and it should be a good time. If people are interested in Legends tickets, how can they get those?
So all of our tickets are online. Anybody can go to our website. It's www.lexingtonlegends.com. And from there, you can see all of the organizations that we donate to. If you are an organization and you would like a donation, we've got a community tab there, so you can go there. If you want to buy tickets, we've got right now our individual tickets don't go on sale until May 12th. We're going to be having our Fan Fest when all individual and all-star game tickets go on sale. So just keep an eye out for those. And then, of course, like I said, the Red, White, and Boom tickets are already on sale, and you can get those at our website as well.
And I'm sure y'all are interested as an organization in partnering with more nonprofits and more community organizations. If somebody's listening and they have an organization and they want the word out, how does that process work?
Literally call me. It's one of those, it's an open door at the Legends. We all work around the clock to make sure that we're benefiting as many people as we can. So anybody can give me a call. My name's Rebecca Burns at 859-422-7855, or email me at rbarnes@lexingtonlegends.com. And then, like I said, there is a community tab, which my name will probably be all over that as well. So if you're seeking, you know, mascot appearances, to, you know, donations for one of your local charities, to nominating a hometown hero at one of our games, we've got all of that on our website under the community tab. And, you know, we love partnering with new people. It just kind of, it gives us a different aspect of why we do what we do, and it definitely lets us give back to this community that does so much for our ballpark.
And if people have an idea for maybe a fundraiser or something new, they can contact you as well?
Absolutely. We have a ton of fundraisers at our ballpark. It's a great facility, space. It's big. It holds a lot of people. We have parking. So we've got our Kentucky Yale tap room. We've got much of our party tents and stable areas are able for rental as well. We have our executive boardroom. So we host quite a few events. Over 300 events were hosted last year just at the ballpark alone, and that helps a lot of local organizations raise a lot of money.
Well, I was about to ask and switch gears a little bit, but what can people expect? Because I have never been to a Legends game, but what can you expect on a normal night at the ballpark?
Just to have fun. I think minor league baseball is one of those things that you literally come to a baseball game, and yes, there's a baseball game going on, but you're there to have fun. We have in-game entertainment as far as anything from a gorilla running around in an outfit to people bouncing on, you know, balls in the middle of the field to win a prize. It is 100% about the family fun atmosphere. We've got good food. We've got great drinks. It's one of those things that you come to have a good time. And at the end of the day, there's a baseball game going on.
It's great. And it's very indicative of the community we have here in Lexington that we're just here to have a good family friendly time. And to celebrate what makes our city so unique.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We love it. We absolutely love it.
What are a list of some of the charities that the Lexington Legends donates to? I know there's Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America. That's with the Brave the Blue, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are quite a few organizations that we've given to over the last couple of years. Some of the ones that we partner with on a more regular basis range from anything from Breast Cancer Research and Awareness, which is the Marquee Cancer Center, Kentucky Cancer Link, and Susan G. Komen. We also partner with, for our local Bark in the Parks, we partnered with Kentucky Save. It's an animal donation. Kentucky Save is a nonprofit. It's a no-kill animal rescue shelter. For Military Appreciation Night, we auction off our jerseys to benefit Military Missions, which is a local nonprofit organization that supports troops in a variety of ways, including sending care packages. St. Joseph Hospital Nursing Scholarship is one of our favorites. We've been doing that for quite a few years now. We do a jersey auction, and all of the money raised goes to the St. Joseph Nursing Scholarship Program, and it's always so fun to see, you know, those nurses that get the scholarships. It's just one of those things that it just makes sense for us, and it truly makes us appreciate everything that we do.
All right, so, and you can be judicious in this, but what is your favorite event of the season?
Gosh, that's a hard one. Because every day is truly different. When you think about minor league baseball, every day we have a different event going on. I would have to say this year, one of the new events that we did, it was called Stash Tank. And it's kind of in an ode to Shark Tank. And we invited the local schools, William Wells Brown, the fifth grade class, and then from the STEAM Academy program. But we invited them out, and the fifth graders actually came up with a giveaway item, like if we were to give away an item at the door. And so they have been working on this all season long, or all semester long, and it's we are in the voting stages right now, and they presented to us in like a Shark Tank fashion. So we did that right after the holidays, so we were really excited about that one. And then I'll tell you what blew my socks off this year. We have the STEAM Academy. They're one of our neighbors. The ninth grade students all participated in putting together, and they're a project-based learning school, so they spent the entire semester working on this as part of one of their classes. And they pitched us some great ideas for this underutilized basketball court area at our ballpark. And I'm not kidding you, these guys blew our socks off. We were like, where on earth did you come up with these ideas?
And well, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we're actually in the basement of the STEAM Academy, or in the first floor of the STEAM Academy, and they have a radio club here, and they do some classwork, and they're going to have a live show pretty soon. Yes, they're all very impressive.
So impressive. I'm like, how are you in high school? I mean, blow our mind. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those.
And they're nice, too, which is amazing.
So humble. So that was probably my favorite project to work on this past year. It was just, they kind of just blew our socks off. And it was one of those things that we're, you know, now that we kind of have this 1 year under our belt, you know, how can we, you know, replicate that program in other schools and engage our community in it in a way that probably hasn't happened, at least from a minor league baseball standpoint. And I will say those kids, I mean, man, they knocked our socks off. These projects were excited. We'll be announcing the winner within the next probably 2 weeks, and we're excited to share with you guys what they did. They were a pretty smart group of students.
Is this kind of a common theme with all baseball and minor league, is that this giving back to the community, or is this something that's really unique to the Legends?
You know, I think it's something that every team would envision, you know, themselves doing to some extent. But I will say that I have visited other teams. I've seen other programs in the communities, and I will say we've got one heck of a community relations department, and that is 100% an ode to Andy Shea, our president and CEO. He's always been involved in the communities that he has lived in. He's been a big brother to five different younger brothers now, and it's just one of those things that I think for him has just run true to how he wants to run a business, and, you know, truly trickles down from the top and I'm here to help it grow. And I think it's one of the best jobs you could ever have. I mean, who gets to say that they get to take part in all of these great organizations, these great projects and, you know, great events, and that's my job. So I think Lexington probably has one of the better, and I'm not being biased, I promise, but better community relations department that I've seen in minor league baseball. I think, you know, it's always about being able to give back to people that can't and don't have what we are willing to give. So I think it's truly an honor to be a part of the Lexington Legends. I think we're growing in ways that we have never grown before, and we're just looking forward to a stellar season. We've got a lot of good things planned for you guys. The promotional calendar actually is probably coming out this week, so keep your eye out. We're excited to announce that as well.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to see all the plans for the upcoming season and to get our tickets for the 12th. So I think I will definitely try and make it to a few games.
Yes, you'll definitely have to come out now that you've told me you haven't come to one.
Yes.
We will send you some opening day tickets. How about that?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I think we have all enjoyed learning about everything that the Legends have to offer and all the great things you all have done for our community.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We always love to get the word out, and anytime you all ever need anything, please don't hesitate to call. We're an open door.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thanks.